In science journalist Elizabeth Preston's new book, The Creature's Guide to Caring, she explores animals from the exotic to the familiar to show how much we all have in common when it comes to caring for our young and each other. We begin our What We're Reading conversation with Elizabeth Preston on how writing about evolutionary biology and being a parent inspired her new book.
As a parent, I'm very aware of all of the parenting literature out there, but I hadn't really seen anything that approached parenting from the perspective of humans as animals. We like to ignore the fact that we're animals. Maybe it's inconvenient and uncomfortable, but as a person who writes a lot about evolutionary biology, I'm always interested in what it tells us when we look at a question from the perspective of how we got here evolutionarily, how we got here in the context of all the other animals on Earth that are doing similar things or different things. So I thought it would be interesting to look at parenting in that way because I wasn't seeing that in other places.
Can we begin with talking about what's going on in the brain or evolutionary wise when humans are caring for babies?
So much. So much is going on. But one of the important things that I found out is that while in every mammal, it's critical for a mother to care for the baby, it's built right into the name, right? Mammal, it's from milk. We can't really escape as much as we might like to sometimes. The mother needs to be there. So every mammal has a caring mother. But in humans and in other species, some other species, it seems that we've evolved to care for our kids in a cooperative group. And we can see that legacy in the ability of both fathers and people who aren't related to a baby at all to start caring for the baby. So what happens in a mother's brain and body is interesting when a baby is born. But also what's interesting is that any other person who's around who experiences those cues of being around a baby who needs care can tap into that caring part of their brain and act as a parent or caretaker.
You kind of hinted at that just now, and it's a really interesting thing that you emphasize in your book is how big a role the male species plays in caregiving. And maybe we don't really kind of pick up on that as humans. We've got like culture and masculinity issues. So I think that's something we don't pick up necessarily on as humans. I wonder if you can go into that a little bit. And one of the most interesting examples you give in your book is how the midshipman fish, which is such an interesting species. I had to look it up and then I was like, yikes, when I saw it. You talk about how like that particular fish, the male has a big role in caregiving. So I wonder if you can kind of talk about those issues, both like with human and other species.
Yeah, across the animal kingdom, most animals don't care for their young. But within the animals that do, it really varies whether it's more of a maternal role or a paternal role or something else. So like I said, in mammals, mothers have to be involved. In fish, it's a minority of fish that care for their young, but among the fish that do, it's almost always the dad. And the midshipman, like you said, is a really fun example. In the breeding season, the male fish travels from the deep ocean to the shore. He builds this nest by digging out dirt underneath a rock, and he makes this very loud droning noise, which attracts the females, and they come and they check out the singing males and their nests, and they choose the one that they find attractive. They lay some eggs and then they book it out of there. They never come back. They're done. The moms are over, and the male has to stay there for months guarding this nest of eggs. And it's very intense. He doesn't eat unless he sometimes eats a couple of the eggs if he gets real hungry. But he's very exposed, literally exposed. He's on the shore. He can be completely dry when the tide goes out. He can get eaten by a seagull. He may have to fend off other males who are trying to get his nest space. So it's this very intense parenting role, and it's entirely done by the dad. Humans are interesting because, you know, we're apes. But among the other apes, there isn't really a species that looks like us. as far as our family structure. We're the only apes in which there's both pair bonding. So we have one partner, more or less. It depends on your culture and many factors, but more or less, we engage in monogamy. And we have cooperative groups that we care for our young with, or at least that's how anthropologists think that we evolved. So there are no other apes that have all of these factors together. And to find another close relative to humans who looks like this, you have to go all the way to these small treetop monkeys in South America, the tamarins and the marmosets, who also have involved dads as well as groups who take care of the young together.
This is what we're reading on KAXE KBXE, and we're talking with writer Elizabeth Preston about her new book, The Creature's Guide to Caring: How Animal Parents Teach Us That Humans Were Born to Care.
There are so many instances of fascinating animal behavior that you give us in this book, but I'm curious if you have a favorite one that you want to share with us.
Ooh. Yeah, there are so many. It's like choosing your favorite child, right? There are so many fun animals I got to write about. One of my favorites, because it's very obscure and I think almost no one has heard of this animal, is a crocodilian in Asia called the gharial, gharial. It kind of looks like a crocodile or alligator with an extra long kind of tube-shaped snout, and then it has this big blob at the end, like a big potato. It's very strange. And it lives on a river in India. It's very endangered. But a cool thing about it is that the females all lay their eggs kind of together or like in clusters on the banks of the river. They bury the eggs. And then when the hatchlings start to come out, the females hear them and they dig them back up out of the sand and they kind of rescue them and let them help them get to the river. And then so all these little baby hatchlings, like little mini crocodiles, are around together. And the females don't really know whose is whose because they all look the same and they all crawled out together. And so there might be a female who stays around and helps guard all these babies. But also often there's a male who comes and he might be the father of some of these babies. He might be the father of none of these babies. They have kind of a territorial thing going on. It's very vague and unclear who's attached to which babies. But the male will stick around and he will guard this whole creche of hundreds of a little crocodile-looking babies. And he acts as this kind of babysitter to all these little babies, even though they mostly aren't related to him. And he'll scare off the other predators who might come around. He's got his big chomping jaws. And I just love that example because we don't think of reptiles usually as social animals. We think of like somebody has a snake in their terrarium and it just kind of sits there. But even reptiles can have these very interesting social lives and these really intense forms of care.
What do you want people to get out of this book as far as, comparing the animal kingdom to our own way of caregiving and parenting?
Yeah, one big thing that I want people to come away with is the idea that we're not alone as caretakers and as parents. It can feel very lonely, but you can look around in the world and start to notice all of these examples of other species who are facing the same challenges that we are and have found all these ways to deal with it. And it's also hard for them. Just because it's common doesn't mean it's easy, right? But we're not alone in that struggle. And we're not alone in finding it valuable to do it. Also, the idea that because humans evolved to care for kids cooperatively, that we all have that caretaking equipment in our brains. And so even people who don't have their own kids have this capacity to care and are part of the human family. And so I want people to take away that it doesn't matter whether you have kids of your own. You are a caretaker to other humans around you. And that I think this equipment for caring, this incredible empathy that we have compared to other animals, this incredible ability to cooperate is really at the foundation of our whole society.
Elizabeth Preston is the author of The Creature's Guide to Caring. It's what we're reading. I'm Tammy Bobrowski.